Mike Dunlap joins us on Sports Byline, head basketball coach at Loyola Marymount University. This is his first season and more than 30 years of college and NBA coaching experience. He was a graduate of LMU as well. Also coached in Australia, the National Basketball League over there for three seasons. And he also replaced Paul Silas as the head coach of the Charlotte Bobcats after they posted the worst winning percentage in league history. He tripled the team's win total, going from 7 to 21. Glad to have you with us, Mike. Let me ask you, what's the difference between coaching the college player and the pro player?
In the pros, you manage them, and it's always between the lines. Anything outside the building is handled by their family, agent, and, of course, themselves. So there's a clear line there. And in college, you're involved in not only the basketball, but the academics, and also is the emotional and the development of them, the whole person, and also character. Not so much at the NBA level.
Yeah, that's a player's league. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Is it fair to say then college basketball is a coach's league?
I think so, yeah. I mean, as you see with, say, Patino and Calipari, and it goes on, Billy Donovan is the face of the program's the coach. You know, and the face of the NBA, the players. So directly put by you.
What's the challenges for a coach who comes back and coaches a team that he once played for and was at a university with? What are the challenges there, Mike?
Well, it was so long ago that I think that probably one of the challenges to recognize change, not only in the student athlete, but also the university you go back to, because with LMU, it's doubled in size, and not only with buildings and facilities and whatnot, but also the student population. So I would say the size is the biggest difference at LMU.
Yeah, the other thing, too, I used to do the University of San Francisco games, and we'd always come down and, of course, play Loyola Marymount. And I remember the up-tempo, and I mean really up-tempo. Anything over half court, Mike, was within range for the players at that time. Tell me a little bit about your squad this year and what you're trying to do, because you're 4-11, which means you're in a somewhat of a rebuilding phase with that team.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, in terms of the branding, we want to head that way. In terms of tempo and pressure and et cetera, I think that one is that's appealing to your recruiting base a little more in that form. But the most important thing is to do things right, whether it's the places we stay or the uniform that we wear, or how we play, and make sure that academically that, you know, we don't have a lot of hiccups as semesters go on. You don't want a lot of adverse publicity in that form. But there's nothing like winning to attract people. But I think it's just as you come through the door and you're starting probably a new culture and raising the standard, so to speak, is you just got to do things right.
You know, they always talk about chemistry and continuity on a team, any team in sports. And I'm just wondering how you've been able to blend and get that continuity with 8 international players. Now, you have players from Nigeria, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Zambia, Croatia, and also Australia. You've got different languages, you've got different cultures, different food that they may like, different styles of basketball. How are you doing this?
Well, fortunately, I've had a lot of foreign players play for me in the past, the places that I've been, so that's helped a lot. The second thing is that the basketball is a medium that helps in a tremendous way, because obviously the way you shoot a ball or the way you defend basically is the same way. So just that language of they're there to play basketball in that form once they walk into the gym, and also the common denominator are the academics, in that the people that work at LMU are the same faces that are highly competent. And so I think that you point to those things, or even the places that they eat. While they may go to different eating stations, it's in the same building. So it's just the simple things. It's not that complicated.
You knew as well as I do that there was a period of time when the United States was, you know, the standard for basketball, but now it's a worldwide sport. We've seen some challenges of the U.S. national team over the years, and I'm just wondering what has narrowed that gap when it comes to basketball.
Well, number one was the Americans, because of their generosity and coaches leaving the continent and going into, say, Africa and going all across the world, China, et cetera, is the Americans spread the game, and also the medium of TV, obviously the social medium of that to be in every country. It's world renowned. It's one of those things, such as soccer, that the world has taken to. So let's say you go to Yugoslavia or wherever, genetically you're getting the best athlete out of that country to play. So same as Turkey, a lot of them tilt towards wanting to play basketball. So now there are only so many chairs, say, in the NBA or college scholarships, and a lot of those children that grow up to be young men and women covet one of those chairs. So the rise of the game across the world is, back to your question, has basically been due to the fact that the American coach was willing to leave the continent and share information.
Is it a little bit easier to recruit an international player than it is, say, a player from the United States?
I think that there's not as much competition, so that's a great question in that you can probably sneak somebody, say, from South America, or it could be Germany or Australia, and there aren't as many coaches that have the resources or even want to do it in that capacity, so it's got to be part of your strategy.
For 3 years, you coached in Australia, and I'm just wondering, has that worked out to be a pipeline for you? Because I know St. Mary's in your conference has had a number of players that have come from Australia and had great success in this country as well.
Yeah, I mean, while the St. Mary's was getting onto that, I was recruiting those guys to Metro State, where we won a couple national championships, and that pipeline helped us ultimately win the national championship. So yes, I mean, that's one of the targets, but also as we've diversified, and obviously we've got some guys from other parts of the world on our team, and that will continue forward. If you said, well, give me an example of a model that it's really fared out, not only where I've been, it's the San Antonio Spurs. If you look at the cornerstones of the Spurs, they went international, and then they've actually blended in the American basketball player into the fabric of what they've done, but they're a wonderful model that you can use a hybrid and be highly successful.
Mike Dunlap is with us on Sports Byline, head basketball coach at Loyola Marymount University, and of course 30 years coaching in the college ranks as well as being an NBA coach as well. Mike, I remember in a conversation I had with Mike Krzyzewski one time, I asked him for what he looks for in the person that he recruits, and he said, when I go into a recruit's home, maybe it's two parents, maybe it's one parent, but one thing I always do is ask the parent a question, and then out of the corner of my eye, I look to see whether the kid rolls his eyes as his parents are answering the question. He says, because that tells me they respect authority. What is it that you look for in the person you're recruiting?
Well, for us, the most important part is to access those coaches over years that have had a high standard and have been highly successful. There's nothing like pulling a young man or woman from a winning environment academically and athletically, where that guy or that gal has had a track record of winning, you know, because to reverse the DNA on a young man or woman that's only known losing probably isn't a good formula. So we look for a young man who's been coached hard, and also the expectations of the foster parent or the one parent family is that they have a high standard educationally. And so, you know, you're trying to pluck the eyes of the fish out. I think that the Kiwis and even the Australians, when they took the America's Cup, what they did is they infiltrated our boats and they studied how the Americans were doing that. And then they brought that information back to their own and they infused it into what they knew. And I think that probably when you're recruiting, you look for big indicators and small indicators. And the transcript can tell you a lot as well. And so knowing how to read a transcript is key.
Has the college game, much like the NBA game, moved from big man on the post to perimeter play? Is that the main part of the college game as well now, Mike?
Yeah, it's such a great question in that the pick and roll has made it, the big man has to be more mobile than they used to. And the other thing that internationally they incorporated years ago was the trapezoid key. There was a huge triangle to get the bigs, the American bigs, away from the basket and create less space, get them further away. So by necessity, what has happened is the pick and roll game came in from actually the Euros, not the Americans, because of that. So I know that's a long-winded way of saying, yes, the fours and fives and their responsibilities have changed dramatically over the last decade.
I'm going to assume from what I've heard from you, because you've been very articulate about my questions, we only have 30 seconds left, but you like the teaching aspect of the college game.
Love the teaching aspect, and I love that window from 18 to 22, because they're so malleable, and they're impressionable. And really, when you think of the university setting, it's the one place where it's encouraged to be wrong, if that's what you're going to do, and kind of a utopia of philosophical things. And basketball is, kind of a blend, a nice blend of what they're trying to create at universities.
Mike, I want to thank you very much. I hope we stay in touch. Love to have you back on the show. Congratulations on getting the head job at LMU, and you're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care, Mike.
Thank you. It's a privilege. Bye-bye now.
Mike Dunlap with us again, men's head basketball coach, coming back to his alma mater, and they're struggling now, but he's rebuilding that program. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.